So imagine you're a senior executive at like KPMG.
Okay.
You manage these multi-million dollar corporate mergers. Your inbox is an absolute war zone, and you're just trying to figure out how to scale your company's culture, without burning everybody out.
Right, the classic corporate leadership crisis.
Exactly. So when you need advice on how to handle that kind of intense pressure, who do you call?
I mean, you'd usually assume like a billionaire CEO or some Wall Street veteran.
Right, but
Whoa.
in New Zealand, you might actually be calling an Air Force pilot.
Which is just wild because it completely upends how we traditionally think about corporate wisdom.
Totally.
We tend to think of military leadership and civilian leadership as, two entirely separate languages. But when you look closely at the mechanics of human connection, those languages are actually identical.
Yeah, and that brings us to the final stack of notes for our deep dive today.
Whoa.
We've been looking at the Royal New Zealand Air Force's mentoring program.
Right, this tiny radical pilot from 2008 that basically just threw rank out the window.
Yeah, to create this protected space for genuine human connection. But today, the mission is focusing on the impact, the influence, and the future. Basically, the idea of scaling intimacy.
I love that phrase, scaling intimacy.
Right. Okay. So let's unpack this. How does a homegrown program for fewer than 3,000 personnel end up advising the global stage?
Well, great mentoring programs don't just develop individuals in a vacuum. If they're built right, that culture bleeds outward,
It influences communities, other industries, future generations.
Exactly. But to get that kind of global influence, you can't just rely on internal hype. You have to prove your model works against the highest global
You
standards.
have to step outside the military bubble.
Right, and invite some pretty brutal scrutiny.
Which brings us to 2014. They sought accreditation from the ISMPE, the International Standards for Mentoring Programs and Employment.
Yeah, a huge milestone.
But honestly, when I first read that, my initial reaction was a big concern.
Really? Why is that?
Well, when I hear terms like compliance framework or accreditation process, I immediately think of red tape, like sterile checklists and bureaucracy.
Right, it sounds very corporate.
Doesn't overlaying a strict civilian compliance framework onto a military program risk killing its unique human-centered spirit?
It's a totally valid fear, but the reality of this particular accreditation actually worked in the exact opposite direction.
Really? How so?
It wasn't about forcing the program into a corporate straitjacket. It was this rigorous audit of their pastoral care. The assessors weren't just checking if they had a nice handbook.
They wanted to see how it actually functioned.
Right. They were dissecting how the program handled ethics, how they matched people, and, how they protected the psychological safety of the mentees.
Okay, so it was a real stress test.
Exactly. And by passing that audit, they became the first military organization in the entire world and the first organization of any kind in New Zealand to achieve ISMPE gold accreditation.
The first military in the world. That is just a massive badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely. But they didn't just get the badge and put it on a shelf.
Right, because they achieved gold again in 2018 and then again in 2022.
Yeah, they recognize that maintaining intimacy at scale requires constant calibration. So in 2018, they subjected themselves to an even tougher evaluation.
The European Mentoring and Coaching Council, the EMCC.
Yes. And what is truly staggering here is the result they got from the EMCC.
Oh, I saw this in the notes.
On a deeply subjective, human-centered civilian metric, they scored a perfect 100%.
Wait, a perfect score. I literally have to pause you there. How is that even mathematically possible?
Right, it sounds fake.
Yeah. When you're evaluating human relationships, there's always room for improvement. How do you get 100% without the assessors thinking you somehow gamed the system?
Well, you get 100% because the ENCC framework isn't grading whether your people are perfect, it's grading whether your system for processing imperfection is flawless.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
And this is actually why they strategically chose the EMCC over other bodies like the ICF, the International Coaching Federation.
Right, because the ICF is a huge name in this space. Why bypass them entirely?
Because the ICF focuses almost exclusively on coaching, and coaching is generally pretty transactional.
It's about achieving a specific task.
Exactly, or building a specific skill. But mentoring is holistic. It's about personal and professional evolution.
And the EMCC values both.
Yes, but more importantly, the EMCC demands something called reflective practice.
Yeah, the notes mention reflective practice a lot, but honestly, it sounds like a corporate buzzword for just journaling about your day.
It does sound like that, yeah.
What does it actually mean in a high-stakes military context?
Let's ground it in a scenario. Imagine a junior officer who just botched the coordination of a critical supply drop.
Okay, a pretty serious mistake.
If you're just using a coaching model, the coach sits down and says, "Here's how you fix the spreadsheet. Here's the logistical error. Don't do it again."
Right, purely tactical.
Exactly. But reflective mentoring, under the EMCC standard, requires the mentor to ask much deeper questions.
Like what?
Like, walk me through your thought process when the communication broke down. How did panic physically manifest for you in that moment?
Oh, wow.
What assumptions did you make about your team, and how do we build a psychological circuit breaker for that next time?
You know, if you're listening to this and you've ever had a performance review, you know it's almost always the former. It's just fix the spreadsheet.
Right, exactly.
But this reflective practice, it's asking the mentor to be almost like a psychological mechanic.
That's a really great way to put it, because in the military, decisions have severe, immediate consequences.
Lives are literally on the line.
Yes. So the ability to reflect, to learn from a high-pressure mission, and grow from that reflection is quite literally a matter of life and death.
So that perfect score from the EMCC was a validation that their mentors weren't just teaching tasks. They were actively engaged in their own ethical reflection. Okay, so the paper standard is perfect. They have the global gold standard. But paper is easy, relatively speaking.
Sure.
The real test of scaling a culture is whether it survives contact with an entirely different organization.
And that's exactly what happens next.
Yeah, looking at the timeline, the success naturally starts bleeding over into the other branches of the New Zealand Defense Force. They help the Navy, they help the Army.
And that cross-pollination within the military brings its own beautiful nuance, like when they helped the Royal New Zealand Navy build their program.
Oh, they adopted that guiding indigenous proverb, right?
Yes, a wakatoki. The phrase is Matitu kana katuchika te teina.
And the rough translation into English is something like, from the older sibling, the younger learns the right way to do things.
Right, and from the younger sibling, the older learns to be tolerant.
I love that. It perfectly captures the reciprocity of what they built.
The older gives guidance, the younger gives perspective.
Exactly. And sharing notes with the Navy makes total sense to me. They speak the same fundamental language, they wear a uniform. But here is where the jump gets really wild.
The corporate pilot.
Yes. In November 2023, the program launched a peer-to-peer pilot with corporate entities, specifically KPMG and Tonkin plus Taylor.
This is where we see that mutual cultural disruption we hinted at earlier.
I really need you to break down the mechanics of this for me. Tonkin plus Taylor is an engineering and environmental consultancy,
Right?
and KPMG is an accounting behemoth. So how does the military ethos of combat readiness survive the jump to a corporate boardroom?
It's a fair question.
Like, what are an Air Force pilot and a corporate auditor actually talking about for an hour?
Well, you have to look past the uniform and the business suit. If you strip away the specific industry jargon, the friction points of leadership are incredibly universal.
Really? How so?
Think about what a corporate executive is dealing with right now. They're navigating massive organizational change, managing team burnout, fostering a sense of belonging in a hybrid work environment.
Oh, and probably dealing with their own imposter syndrome.
Exactly. And those are the exact same hurdles a squadron leader faces when deploying a unit overseas.
So they aren't talking about accounting or flying planes at all. They're trading notes on the human element of leadership.
It actually goes deeper than just trading notes. It's an intentional vulnerability exchange.
Oh, I like that.
The RNZAF recognize that if their leaders only ever talk to other military leaders, they risk operating in an echo chamber.
Right, groupthink.
Yeah. So by bringing in a corporate partner, the military leader gets fresh, innovative perspectives on civilian management techniques.
And I imagine it builds a bridge for service members preparing for life after the military, too, which is a deeply daunting transition.
Absolutely. And then what does the corporate executive get out of it?
Yeah, what do they get?
They get injected with military resilience. They get a masterclass in crisis management, decisive action under pressure, and this deeply ingrained sense of duty to the person standing next to them.
It's a brilliant cross-pollination, taking the best of corporate innovation and military resilience and just putting them in a room together.
To see what sparks, exactly.
It's fascinating because, you know, if you're managing a corporate team right now, you might think your problems are entirely unique to your industry.
But they really aren't.
No. This proves that human friction is just human friction, whether you're in a boardroom or an aircraft hangar.
And the ripple effect of this realization didn't just stop at the borders of New Zealand.
No, as we look deeper into the sources, this tiny force starts crossing oceans.
The scale of their global reach over the last few years is staggering. To give you a baseline, their monthly mentoring newsletter is now read by over 1,500 people worldwide.
That's like half the size of their entire internal organization just reading their external newsletter.
And we're not just talking about casual readers subscribing to a mailing list either. We are talking about formal, deeply integrated international collaborations.
Like who?
Well, the RNZAF mentoring program is actively engaged with the Royal Air Force in the UK, the Royal Canadian Air Force, and the Royal Australian Navy.
Wow.
They even provided structural guidance for the Australian Defense Force's senior mentoring scheme.
I also saw the United States Air Force Academy on that list of collaborations, which absolutely stopped me in my tracks.
It's quite a contrast, isn't it?
The scale difference is almost comical. The U.S. Air Force is a massive, sprawling, globally deployed apparatus.
Cute.
So why are they looking to a military force of under 3,000 people to help shape their internal leadership culture?
Because the RNZAF model proves that organizational size is irrelevant when you perfect the human element.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Massive militaries often struggle with making their personnel feel like more than just a number on a spreadsheet.
Which makes sense when you have hundreds of thousands of people.
Right. But the New Zealand model is built on indigenous frameworks that prioritize deep, meaningful relationship building.
One at a tanga, the idea that you are part of an interconnected family.
Exactly. Along with manakatanga, a profound commitment to care, respect, and hospitality.
They basically institutionalized empathy.
They did. And that translates globally. Because at the end of the day, an airman in the U.S. Air Force and a recruit in the Royal Canadian Air Force share the exact same fundamental human need.
To feel seen and valued.
Yes, to feel protected by their organization so they can perform at their highest level. The rest of the world looked at New Zealand and realized, oh, they figured out how to operationalize belonging.
And they are actively exporting that knowledge. The notes mention a facilitator named Russell Bone.
Yes, Russell is a prime example of this global influence. He has over 500 hours of coaching and mentoring experience within the program.
Wow.
Because of his specific expertise in weaving these deeply human practices into rigid global standards, he was invited to present at the 2022 EMCC Global Summit.
That's amazing.
And it goes further. He was actually asked to lead the EMCC Asia Pacific Region Mentoring Hub.
Wait, so you literally have the New Zealand Defense Force shaping how the entire Asia-Pacific region conceptualizes mentoring.
Precisely. It really is an unbreakable chain.
And what's brilliant is that they aren't just focusing on the top brass either. They are starting that chain earlier and earlier.
You're talking about the School to Skies initiative.
Yeah, this future pathway program highlighted in the research.
That initiative is crucial to understanding their long-term strategy. They take people who have literally just signed up, who are just beginning their journey to join the RNZAF.
Just raw recruits.
Exactly. And they match them with a mentor from within the program right from the start.
So they don't wait until you've survived boot camp or been in the service for 5 years to offer you a safety net.
No. They embed you into the culture of connection the moment you express interest. It fundamentally changes the entire psychological contract between the recruit and the military.
Okay, so we take a step back and look at the whole board here. We have massive global expansion.
Right.
We have cross-service integration with the Navy and Army. We have corporate peer-to-peer pilots with KPMG. And we are catching recruits on day one.
It sounds like a perfectly oiled machine.
It does, but as I look at their strategies for the future, specifically their plans around 2026.
Ah, the year of connection.
Thiruna.
Yes, the year of connection. I see a really heavy push for digital enablement in these notes.
Yeah, the future strategy relies heavily on rolling out MS Teams-based mentoring resources, establishing virtual hubs, and just generally improving their digital databases.
And exploring AI-driven mentor-mentee matching tools.
Yes.
Now, hold on. If you're listening to this and you've ever tried to implement a new software system in your office, you're probably thinking the exact same thing I am.
How do you roll out AI without ruining the culture?
Exactly. How do you roll it out to thousands of people without making it feel like a sterile corporate mandate?
It's a risk.
Are we talking about a dating app for military mentors?
Yeah.
Swiping right on a squadron leader. Doesn't relying on algorithms threaten the deeply personal humanity that earned them that 100% EMCC score in the first place?
I would frame it slightly differently because that tension is exactly what the program managers are wrestling with.
Okay.
But we have to confront the logistical reality of a modern, globally deployed military.
Which is very spread out.
Exactly. How do you maintain that deeply human intimacy when your mentee is deployed on a ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and the mentor with the exact right experience to help them is stationed at a desk in Auckland?
Oh, I see. So you can't just rely on two people bumping into each other in the mess hall and hitting it off.
Precisely. When you are scaling globally, organic matching just becomes impossible.
That doesn't scale.
Right. The AI and the digital platforms are not there to replace the conversation. They are the logistics required to enable it.
So it's not a dating app matching personalities?
No, it's more like mapping the nervous system of the organization. The AI acts as the synapses. It can instantly analyze specific career goals, psychological needs, and areas of expertise.
To connect an isolated node on a ship with the exact mentor they need.
Exactly. It's using the algorithm to facilitate the relationship, not letting the algorithm become the relationship.
That is a crucial distinction.
The challenge of the future for the RNZAF, and really for any organization trying to scale culture, isn't avoiding technology out of some nostalgic fear.
Right, because you can't avoid it.
No, you can't. It's figuring out how to leverage that technology to maintain the human in the room magic across thousands of miles.
And all of this digital scaling, all this cross-border collaboration, it's all pointing toward an ultimate vision they have for the future, right?
Yes. The program managers have set an incredibly ambitious goal for the year 2028.
The Global Summit.
Yes. They want to host a Global Military Mentoring Summit, a HUI, right there in New Zealand.
Bringing together military leaders, mentors, and mentees from all over the world into one room. That is huge.
It would be a massive platform to share innovations, to showcase these cross-cultural successes, and to physically embody the core philosophy that we are all in this together.
Iwaka Iknoa.
Exactly. It would cement their position not just as a participant in global mentoring, but as the central beating heart of it.
It is truly wild to think about where this all started. Like if you look all the way back to the beginning of your notes to 2008.
A very different time.
Just a small group of people who realized that senior personnel had untapped wisdom, junior personnel had untapped potential.
And they just needed a safe, rank-free space to connect them.
Yeah. And now we are talking about AI nervous systems, international summits, and advising the U.S. Air Force.
It beautifully illustrates a reflection from Colin Eady, one of the original co-founders of the program.
Oh, I remember this quote.
Yeah, at their 10-year anniversary back in 2018, he looked at what they had built and said, "Could not imagine when we started that we would be here 10 years later. Just imagine where we can be in 10 more years and beyond."
And beyond. That really gets to the core ethos of everything you've been exploring in this research.
It really does.
We've spent a lot of time talking about military doctrine, international accreditations, and corporate cross-pollination.
Right, the mechanics of it all.
But the legacy of this program isn't about the institution itself. It is about the people. It's an unbreakable chain of individuals who have consciously chosen to step up, to lead with empathy, and to uplift the person standing next to them.
And that is exactly why this matters to you, listening to this right now. You do not have to be an Air Force pilot to apply these principles.
Not at all.
Whether you are managing a remote corporate team, trying to build a better culture in your local community, or just navigating your own career, the tools of mentoring are universal.
Connection, empowerment, reflective practice.
Yes, and creating psychological safety. These tools create ripple effects that extend far beyond a single one-hour conversation.
Exactly. Every time you choose to truly listen to someone, to share your own failures and experiences without dictating their path, you are participating in that exact same magic.
You're building your own unbreakable chain.
You are scaling intimacy in your own world. Because great mentoring programs do not simply develop individuals.
They influence cultures, they shape communities, and they guide future generations.
We started this deep dive looking at how a simple, radical act of humanity scaled up to influence the world. It proves definitively that you do not need a massive organization or a limitless budget to change a culture.
You really just need to care deeply about the person sitting across from you.
So as we wrap up our exploration of the notes you provided, we want to leave you with one final provocative thought. Think about your own life, your own influence, and the legacy you are building every day. What will you do with your time in the sun, and who will you bring with you?